So we're finishing up a sermon series about privilege. And this is going to be a weird sermon given that topic. This is like a really personal sermon. It's something I've been wrestling with. I often think these make the worst sermons, right? Like I'm too close to it in some way. Like this is my struggle of late. So I'm going to try to distance myself and make sure that this is like for you in some way too, right? My struggle has been with the verse, "Be perfect, therefore, as God is perfect." Right? This comes after talking about loving your enemies and doing all these very difficult things, maybe impossible things. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as God is perfect. I'm not going to pretend to tell you exactly what this means, right? So theologians don't always agree. The translation we read was to be perfect in love, right? The NIV just uses the word to be perfect. The Common English Bible uses the word to be whole, to be complete, as God is complete. So I don't know how to interpret that for you. I think most of the time what the Bible does is invite you to be in dialogue. The Bible says, come talk to me. Ask me questions. Let me challenge you. It's like a relationship with the text. So for a lot of my life, I kind of like discarded this. Like it means try hard. Like try to be good or something, right? But that's it doesn't say that. It says to be perfect. And so the challenge, the question you have to ask is, how serious are you going to take Jesus' words? How serious are we going to take it? How much are we going to let this haunt us? And how much will we cast it away? Right? So I've been haunted by it. I keep being haunted. Like, what does this mean? What does this mean for my life? How am I supposed to live? So the part of me that wants to like minimize it says, well, it just means perfect in love, which means like if my intentions are good, then it's cool. Right? Like I didn't intend anything to bad, right? So if my intentions were good and loving and kind, well, then it doesn't really matter what I do. But that doesn't seem right. The idea that I could actually be perfect doesn't seem right to me either. Now, I want to be a good Wesleyan about it and talk about holiness and sanctification, but this is not a sermon on sanctification, so you're welcome. I've spared you that for today. You'll get plenty of those from me. It's not really about sanctification, or maybe it is, but not the classic way we think about it. So here's my struggle. Here's like what I'm wrestling with. I think what I do is I commit one of two errors when I think about this notion of being perfect. One error is, man, I really have to do more. So I should really like start running around a little bit more haphazardly, fixing things and loving people and doing good in the world, right? Like I need to call my mom more, and I need to like have a homeless person stay in my empty guest room, and I should probably like not stop eating meat, and right, like I should get a car that gets better gas mileage, and I could plant a tree, and I should like have zero boundaries. I should have zero boundaries, and I should just like run scattershot to do good in the world, to be perfect. Like maybe if I did enough, I could get myself crucified or something, and then that would be enough. Does anybody ever feel like this? With like the Christian life, right? Like I should do more. I think this is a problem. I think it's like an error. But the other error I make is I draw really strict boundaries, and I make my world really small. I make my world so small that I can literally check off all of my to-dos in a day. And I can think, I did it. Everything got checked. This is great. And I love that feeling, checking things off my day planner. And then I go to sleep. Maybe I could be perfect if I just made my world small enough so that I could get it all done. Everything that God wants from me. Like, this is a problem. It's an error. All of this operates according to a kind of logic like the logic of the world or the logic of economy or something, where I'm good enough, I've earned love, I've done enough, and none of it sort of operates according to the logic of grace, which doesn't make any sense in the world we live in, right? A logic that says I'll never be enough, and I will always sort of fall short, and it's okay. Like, and that's okay. But every time I think that, every time I think about grace, or I think about the logic of grace, I think, oh my, but if I really believe that, I might not even get up till 10 a.m. If I really thought, like, I operate according to the logic of grace, maybe I would, like, wouldn't do anything. Like, would I even show up for work if guilt or some sense of I'm worthy because of what I do, if that didn't motivate me, then what? Do you ever feel like that? Like, if I let myself fall into the lovely, like, pillow-topped mattress of grace, then I just would stay there forever. So I'm going to tell a few stories, and maybe this will help make my muddlings clear to you, because right now I think maybe you're saying I have no idea what Joe's talking about. So I have a colleague. I was talking with her at a conference. She works at a different institution. And she shared with me about a student that she had, one of her majors, someone that she was close to, a student who would come to her office frequently, a student who contacted her, you know. Like, there are a few students that get my cell phone number, right? Like, if you need something, here's my number. So it was one of these students. And this student ended up taking his own life. Like, this heartbreaking story, this sharing of a part of her soul, right? Like, it was like a privileged position to feel like she would share that. And as she was sharing it, she was talking about, like, her, like, feeling responsible, but not in a way like it's not her fault. Like, it was nothing, like, because you know how people be like, they take it on, like, this is all about me, I'm responsible, I didn't do it. And if it wasn't anything like that, she just refused to absolve herself of not listening a little better, of not reaching out a little bit more, and not, right? So she wasn't taking it on, but she wasn't leaving. She was like living in this tension. And I could feel myself, I was listening to the story, and in my mind, I was defensive of her. Like, I wanted to say, you couldn't do anything. This isn't your fault. You have nothing to do with this, right? Like, not in a mean way, but like trying to, like, defend her to her. When I thought about it later, I think was defending myself to me. Like, I can't be expected to be responsible for my students. I can't be expected to be responsible for all of my parishioners. I can't be expected to control my children or figure this stuff out. Because what I want to do is I want to make my world really small so that I can get all the things I'm supposed to get done. I can do all the things I'm supposed to do as a parent and as a pastor and as a professor, right? And if I really carve out these strict boundaries about what I am and am not responsible for, I can do that. But she was just living in the tension of feeling like, yeah, you're probably right. I'm not saying it's my fault. I'm saying my interpretation, my world is really big. My responsibilities are really large, and I fail at them, and I need grace. And it was like, oh. So you don't have to make it your fault, and you don't have to make your world tiny so you can get everything done. You can just not be enough. You can just not be enough for the world, for my kids, for my students. I'm just not enough. But the moment I do that, the moment I say my world is big and I'm not enough, the only logic that helps is the logic of grace. That I can at least offer whatever it is I have, whatever it is I am to God, like fishes and loaves, and see if God might do something with them. I want you to have a really big world. A world that doesn't have tight boundaries. And I don't want you to have a world that has no boundaries where you're running around ragged trying to fix everything, where you take all the responsibility on yourself. I want to live in a world where I have perforated boundaries, where I draw them and then I let God mess those up. Where I let life just mess me up. Where I think to myself, I probably should spend more time with my children. I need some grace. I probably should spend more time at NNU with my students, listening to them, really seeing them. And I'm going to need some grace. And I probably should spend more time here with you all. And I'm going to need some grace. But I don't want to do that. I want to say, you can't expect this of me. That's what I want to say. You can't expect it of me. I'm only human. I got two jobs. What do you want from me, right? That's what I want to say. I'll give you another example. So I come home. I have forgotten to communicate effectively with my wife. And I say, Kel, I have a meeting at church. So I'm going to have to like eat fast and I have to go back out. And she's cool. Like, she gets it. She's like, great, very supportive. But that's annoying. That's like, she's exasperated. So you get like a sigh, like, oh, you know, like that means she has to clean the dishes. I mean, she has to put the kids to bed by herself. That means more on her, right? So she's frustrated. And I bristle. Oh man, immediately I can just feel it. Like, I'm sorry. Do you love the apology, non-apology? I'm great at that, by the way. I'm really great at apologies that aren't real. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm a pastor. I've got to go to the church. This is what happens, right? And I get defensive. Like, you are not allowed to expect me to both be perfect at home and at work and to communicate with you perfectly and do all these things, right? And so I get defensive of my boundaries, my space, what I have to get done. But I want you to picture, I want you to like imagine a world where I came home and I forgot to tell her. And I say, I have a meeting. And she sighs. And then I say, I know. Like, I know. I wish I was home too. Like, this is where I want to be. Could you just give me a little bit more grace tonight? Would you just give me a little bit more grace tonight? Do you think she'd respond differently? Do you think maybe she'd respond differently than when I get defensive of my boundaries? Yeah. Defensiveness is the opposite of living in grace. Defensiveness is the opposite. We should just expect to not be enough every single day. We should just expect to fail every single day. Every day. If your world is so small, if your world is so small that you don't actually fail every day, then make it bigger. If your world is so small that you can actually get everything done you're supposed to get done, then your world's too small, make it bigger. If you don't need to pray every day to make it through your life, your world's too small. Prayer is not a luxury. We have to have it so we can make it through. If that's not true, your world is too small. Let God make it bigger. Have perforated boundaries. Rely on grace. Be a failure. Go out to be a failure. But that means your world's big. Right? So I watched a show. I highly recommend it. So it's depressing as all get out. I love this stuff. We're going to see a video clip of it. It's on HBO. It's called Chernobyl. It was a 5-part miniseries. For those that don't know, Chernobyl was the nuclear disaster that happened in Russia. Of course, like nations do, there's like a cover-up. It wasn't our fault, on and on. The reality was they were skimping on parts, trying to save money, cutting corners, not doing the safety that they needed to do. And as a result, thousands and thousands of people died, were infected with radiation that where they died of cancer and other things, right? A horrible disaster. There was a whole team of scientists trying to save even greater disaster, which they succeeded in doing, Russian scientists. There was a lead scientist, though, you're going to hear him talking. The man is sort of the lead. She is representing the other scientists that were a part of it. And he has gone and testified in Switzerland about what happened, and he has lied for the state, essentially. He now has to come back to Russia because there are 3 men are on trial, scapegoats, and he's going to testify at their trial, and she is asking him to now tell the truth. That's what she's asking. But see, he's going to die soon, right? Like, I mean, not soon, sooner than he should have. He's been exposed to an open, active nuclear reactor. His body's been flooded with radiation, so maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 15 years, right? He's given a lot to try to save people in Russia, right? He has sacrificed. And it's like, do you know what telling the truth would mean, right? So let's watch. So this is their conversation.
What's your hoping for?
Chokov is saying they're going to fix the reactors after the trial.
Do you believe him? The state will never willingly fix the reactors because acknowledging the problem means admitting that they lied. They will have to be forced.
That haunts me, that word. Oh, that haunts me. I went to an open reactor. I tried to save Russia. I've given my life. I've exposed myself to radiation. Isn't that enough? I'm sorry. It's not. I said yes to being a pastor. We paid off the remodel. We want to build houses back there. And I say, Lord, isn't that enough? I'm sorry, Joe. It's not enough. Not because I'm earning some salvation, but because my world has to be big enough. My boundaries have to be perforated enough. So the next time God calls, I'm willing to say yes, knowing I won't be enough. Knowing that I will fail. Knowing that it might not make a difference. Knowing that in the end, I'm just going to have to rely on grace. Just a little bit more grace. But I'm tired of living in a small world where I can check off everything at the end of the day and feel like I'm perfect, like I did it all. I don't want to live that life anymore. I want to live a big life. I want to live in a big world where the responsibilities are more than I can bear, where I have to pray to make it through the day, and where grace is the air I breathe, not something I rely on when I make a mistake. That's where God wants me. That's where God wants you. To live in a big world, bigger than it is now. To not be enough. To have the courage to not be enough. To be able to hear the words, isn't this enough, Lord? Haven't I done enough? I'm sorry. There's a little more for you. There's one more step. And when I'm 80, there's going to be one more step. And when I'm 110, because I plan to live that long, there's going to be another step. So will you join me in this really big, wonderful, chaotic world God has for us? This weird journey. Chris, you're ready, right? We're going to live in this world that says, you know what? I'm not enough. Let's just fail together. Let's just try big, crazy things and not be enough. And we'll just say something like, I just need a little bit more grace today. And you're going to give it to me, and I'm going to give it to you. And God's going to give it to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the courage to hear your word. To take seriously your call to be perfect. Not perfect in a small world where I check the boxes. Perfect in our trust, in our faith, in our willingness to take one more step to make our world just a little bit bigger so that we need you each day. So that we need each other each day. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.